This is the save point. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yo, we're going to have to get straight into this because my motherfucking goodness. Yo, this is episode 42 of The Save Point. I'm one of your hosts, Mondo Chunklet the Mongo. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Alyssa Rosa. Alyssa, how you feeling?
I'm in shock.
Yeah, I know. Join the club.
Right.
Yo, there's so much. All right, we're going to get this out of the way really quick. Yo, birthday shout outs to the homies. Eric, whose birthday was yesterday. Mabel, whose birthday is today. Go give Mabel a birthday shout out. Go give Eric a birthday shout out too. Gabby Gang, homie. If you out there. And also, we had an event on the 21st, this Tuesday. It was really, really awesome. Wish I had like video or photos on my computer so I could just throw up and maybe show y'all, but y'all have to believe me, it was a really great time. There was a point where like I went down to like talk to some peeps and like I just took a look around and we had set up 2, 4, 7 stations total and they all had people sitting there around them playing games.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I thought that I was like, damn, we really hitting this. Fucking Yusef, yo, you had to be there. I was outside talking and I hear like this EDM come on. It's like this electronic music come on, this dance music. I'm like, and that song he specifically played is the first time I heard it was on a set from Stefan Bodzin. It's a circle set, circle with an E on YouTube. Incredible set. Stefan Bodzin. Whatever. Anyways, there's a song he plays in there that like is just a super hype moment. Yusef played that song and I knew that from that moment it was gonna be a little real. And that was like ending the night. No one really danced the whole day or whatever. That moment my guy took us back to like EDC 2014.
Wow.
And it was like light drizzle too. It was so rave vibes out there. Ridiculous. It was crazy.
Beautiful. Shout out to Yusef.
Yeah, shout out to Yusef. Cash Games Only Supreme, the homie. But yeah, had a great event. It was awesome. The homie Leoso pulled up. He in the chat. He had a great time.
Hey.
Thanks for pulling up. And yeah, if you couldn't make it, it's all right. We're going to have more. We'll let you know when. But more important news. Oh my goodness. We just finished watching. Like, we're literally fresh off the Nintendo Direct.
Hype.
And oh my goodness, I'm hype. Just some of the games. I'm just go down the list that we got here. Some of the stuff they announced. A new Monster Hunter DLC. That's cool. We're hyped for that. Hyrule Warriors expansion pass. That's cool. They let us know that they're gonna announce the Smash character next month. That's cool. We're looking forward to that. October 5th. Don't know what time, but October 5th.
Yeah, I believe so.
A new Kirby game, which looks really cool. 3D Kirby game. I think this is one of the reasons I've never really been into Kirby because I've never played like a really good 3D Kirby game. I'm not into the 2D and stuff. So that's really exciting. KOTOR is coming in November. Insane. A Dying Light 2, and they're bringing Dying Light 1 in a Platinum Edition next month too. Triangle Strategy, a little Metroid Dread. Animal Crossing update next month, which is cool. N64 and Sega Genesis is coming to the Nintendo Switch. This is not a drill. This is not a drill.
Late October.
Yo, it's just some of the games. Just some of the games that they're bringing. Hold on. I gotta get the list. This is ridiculous. This is.
We're in shock.
I'm going to right. I got the list right in front of me. Just to name a few games. Mario 64, Mario Kart 64, Star Fox 64, oh my goodness, Yoshi's Story, my greatest game of all time, one of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Win Back, Mario Tennis, Dr. Crazy. Mario, and some Japanese game I don't know or recognize, but is obviously really popular if they are putting it there from day one.
Put it in there.
I don't even want to talk about the rest of the stuff yet. Alyssa. What the fuck?
Let's start here.
What's good? Yeah, let's start here.
Let's start here.
Tell me how you're feeling.
I'm in complete shock. Because as we were watching it, we all thought that it was going to be Game Boy Color and Game Boy games. So I'm sitting here ready to like play myself a little bit of Pokemon Yellow, Red, Blue, Sapphire, anything. Come to find out.
They opened...
I get to play the original Pokemon Snap.
They opened up with Ocarina of Time. Why'd they do that to us? Why'd they do that to us? They didn't have to do that.
My favorite part is like they never gave us like a release date. They just said late October, which means I think that there's still probably room for improvement there and like adding games on to the service and everything like that. But I feel like we should talk about something that a lot of people will probably be like, hey, is this an additional cost at all? Mm-hmm. And it is, but they never clarified what it is. And I think the service right now is just $20, right?
Yeah, it's $20 if you're an individual, $35 mm-hmm. for a family.
You have a family.
And that's like for the whole year. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to pay top Take dollar. Money. Top dollar. Take it from me. Thank you very much.
Take my money. On top of that, they also we didn't even get to the other part of this, which is Sega Genesis, but Nintendo 64 alone, they also have like the wireless classic controller that's going to be on sale, I think, for about $50.
$50.
A lot of people have mixed opinions. I feel like $50 for a wireless classic controller sounds about right in comparison to paying like $60 to $80. Yeah.
If it's good quality, which I expect it to be, if it's pro controller quality,
too.
Yeah.
Then that's a really good controller. I just want it to have it.
Yeah.
I just want it to have it. I don't even want it for any other reason. I'm in shock. How are you doing?
Listen. Oh, come on. Don't do this to me right now, camera.
Your camera's good. It's good.
I have been waiting for this day. Because the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo, that wasn't a day one thing on that service. I think that was something that mm-hmm. was updated and added afterwards, right? So mm-hmm. ever since the day that came to the Nintendo, that for me was huge. Because it was just like, wow. And it's just... You're just adding it on to this, mm-hmm. you know, price we're already paying. Service? Anyways, yeah, that's kind of. I felt like that was a little gift, if you ask me. And the way they've just added games onto that endlessly, there's easily between the two of those over 100 games, or close to around. Anyways,
right.
And ever since that day, I was always like, damn, that must mean that the N64 is gonna come one day, right? Like that is just. It's the par of the course, right? After this, mm-hmm. are we gonna get a GameCube? Is that what that means? I gotta ask that question now, right? Like,
well, I have a question. Do you think that they're just gonna skip Game Boy in general, handheld in general, and go straight to the next console? I feel like a lot of their fan base stems from handheld gaming versus like console. Yeah.
No. No, not at all. And that's why I wasn't surprised or, like, I guess taken aback by rumors of it being, like, a Game Boy and Game Boy Advance that were going to come first mm-hmm. instead of, like, an N64. Because I was like, all right, technically the first Game Boy came out before the 64, so I could see that. So if we're mm-hmm. doing it in chronological order, that falls in line. So I was like, whatever, that's cool. But that still gave me a little confidence that, all right, cool, maybe one day we're going to get that N64. And like I told you mm-hmm. during the thing, I was just thinking 2 weeks ago, for the maybe fifth or sixth time in recent history, yo, I really want to play Ocarina of Time again, man. Like, I'm going to just download this emulator. Ever since I've gotten the Switch, that's what I'm talking about. Ever since I've gotten the Switch, it's been about like 5 or 6 times I've had this internal battle of I want to play Ocarina of Time. I want to do it on an emulator, even though I know that experience. I'm willing to do it on an emulator, even though I know that experience isn't, you know, preferable, but mm-hmm. are they gonna do the 64? And yo, I'm holding on hope. And most recently, just 2 weeks ago, I was like, no, Mondo, don't settle, it's coming. And oh, it's coming. God, I don't even give a fuck about it. I mean, everything else here is exciting, don't get me wrong. Star Fox is my there's probably the second game I'm looking forward to the most here. I know everybody was like talking about Pokemon Stadium, mm-hmm. which I think is cool too. For me, it's just Zelda. Majora's Mask is on that coming soon portion of it too, and I think that's cool too, because I don't think that they did that when they announced the Super Nintendo and Nintendo. It was kind of just, hey, these are the games that are on it now, we're gonna add more games in the future. This was really cool because they kind of just confirmed what's coming. You know, like, don't worry about it. You don't got to wonder about Pokemon Stadium. It's coming. You don't got to wonder about Majora's Mask. That's coming. We're going to do. If you're looking at the Sega lineup too, Sonic 2, I'm excited about. The Castlevania games. Golden Axe is a super classic. Streets of Rage 2. Oh my goodness. Shinobi? No. They wild out.
I also wonder, does that mean that does that open the floor for Dreamcast in the future? Or any other Sega console that once took place? Because this is also coming after the news of like that really popular arcade in Japan that was closed, the Sega one.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's really like, wow, like, you know, Sega obviously is a staple in all of our lives since we were kids Sonic alone. But it's just like, yeah, Paper Mario is another one. Yeah.
Even though that's on Xbox, but still.
Yeah, but still, like, for people who don't have an Xbox, I just think it's great. But yeah, I was just wondering if that like meant maybe in the future we get Dreamcast, which would be insane because we get to play Crazy Taxi, like all these phenomenal games on one console.
Yeah, Jet Set Radio, all that stuff on one console, like you said.
Yeah, Jet Set Radio. I know. I'm pretty sure Danny's already probably speculating. He's gonna be like,
so people, I'm gonna make a PlayStation Game Pass point right now. You know, watching Sega, like, you know, this is something that people would have never, ever thought. This is kind of like PlayStation games being on Xbox, if you really think about it. Sega games are on a Nintendo console right now, like full-blown a Sega emulator. That Nintendo is selling a Sega controller. That is like PlayStation selling an Xbox controller one day. Like, that is that level of equivalency.
Or vice versa.
That's how big Sega once upon a time used to be. And for a variety of reasons, Sega is not what they used to be. Part of that reason is they didn't conform to some things that the wider audience was moving into, and they chose technologies here where that ended up not working out or whatever. That is my point.
And on top of that, they were like too open with their IPs, I think.
Yeah, they
We can use Sonic as an example. Where you could just play him on any console, and I think that's where, you know, Nintendo has always been like the hierarchy, because they won't give Mario to anyone. They won't give Zelda or Link to anyone specifically. So a lot of factors, as you're saying, continue.
But my PlayStation Game Pass point is juggernauts fall. If you don't want to adapt, if you don't want to conform to what the wider audience wants and appeals to and et cetera, you will fall. Xbox will be happy to sell PlayStation controllers one day. This is so astonishing for so many reasons. Wow. Nuts.
It really wasn't what we expected. I feel like if we had any insight for it, I think we'd all be in doubt of it just because of the fact that it's Nintendo and they never want us to really be right about anything. They wanted to surprise us. So I'm really happy that we got the N64 and Sega Genesis, which I was not expecting, versus the Game Boy and Game Boy Color. But I do hope in the future that we do get Game Boy and Game Boy Color games, because that shaped a lot of our lives and it would be really awesome.
And with like 9 games, that's impressive. I think between the two, Super Nintendo and Nintendo, it was like a 20 total between the two. This is a little more than 20 between the Sega and N64. Mm-hmm. But I think those N64 games, in my opinion, mean a little bit more. And so I'm surprised that they started off with 9. Like, I would have been fine with Zelda, Mario 64, Kart, and Star Fox. Like, just those four would have been like, oh my goodness, I'll take this.
So I have another question for you. Do you think, I know you were upset because of the 35th anniversary of Zelda, do you still think we will get something like what we got with the All-Stars for Mario, since we're getting 64, even though we already have 64?
Well, this is happy you bring this up again, because when I was originally disappointed, I was like, damn, and that was another time I brought it up. They better be bringing Ocarina of Time in a 64 emulator for like an added to the online service. Now that's a good reason why I didn't get a triple pack with Ocarina of Time, Wind Waker, and
Majora's Mask,
and Twilight Princess. I know why Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask would have never been included for that, because this was always the plan to have this eventually come to the service, and now we have them for free, and it just is what it is.
Right.
So yeah, I guess it doesn't mean you can't give us a Wind Waker Twilight Princess. Like, I'll take that dual pack. It don't gotta be a triple. I'll take that dual pack.
Yeah.
Those games are massive.
But I mean, either way though, I think like it's clear what they're doing, and I feel as if, I'm not saying the Switch will become obsolete, but in its day when there's a new version of a Nintendo console, I'm sure the same thing will happen again, where like the last thing you'll need to get on your new console is Switch games or Switch whatever. Yeah. So I just feel like, I wonder the trajectory of it all. Like, if they don't do it, it's because we're getting GameCube games, we're getting Wii games.
Yeah.
I just, please give us Wii Sports. Oh my God. Yeah. What is not clicking with Wii Sports? Wii please.
I think just, Wii games is going a little far out, but I could see us going as far as GameCube, as far as like the online service consoles.
Classic. Go. Until it becomes a moment of like, these are classics.
I think Wii's so recent that you could just remaster them, you know, Skyward Sword them and shit. And
I feel resell you. Them a that little makes bit. Sense.
Yeah, even at $40 or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Twilight Princess was a Wii game. I don't see them giving us Twilight Princess for free.
No, that's something
that's
they're
a,
definitely
that's a really
us
good game.
Even Wind Waker.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that game.
Those are still fairly new.
Yeah, they're good games. This is amazing.
Incredible.
All right. Are we done?
I think we're good on 64. I think we're good on 64 in Sega Genesis.
Mario movie got announced with a star studded cast. Chris Pratt is Mario, which I think is weird. The chick from
Anya Taylor-Joy is Peach.
She's from what's that show on Netflix?
I don't know. She's in a new
Queen's Gambit.
Yeah, she's in a new movie, some dark, twisted, like almost horror film.
Yeah.
Then we got Charlie Day playing Luigi.
This is like gonna be super interesting. And then Jack Black as Bowser. Wow.
Amazing. Yeah. Then we got
Keegan Michael Key
like from Key and Peele. Yeah. He's gonna be playing Toad, which is funny.
Oh, that's funny.
And Seth Rogen's in it too. Who is he playing?
Donkey Kong. Right? Was he Donkey Kong? I think he was Donkey Kong.
I want to say he is Donkey Kong.
Let me just fast forward a little bit. We got the show right here. Oh yeah.
I want to say he is Donkey Kong.
Toad, Donkey Kong. Yep. Come on, Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong. This is really interesting. This is super interesting.
Yeah, I feel like, again, I mean, we've mentioned it off screen, but for podcast sake, we feel as if Chris Pratt is the only person we're like Mario. They also announced, they also said that the original voice actor of Mario would be
Charles
a part of
Martinet.
It. He's a part of it in certain ways. I don't know why they just didn't let the man voice the character, but I get it. Star-studded cast. You gotta keep it going. But they said holiday 2022 is when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
Just
to
cool.
That. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I'm sure I wonder if this has always been in the works, or if they saw the success Sonic had and said, saw the success Detective Pikachu has had, Sonic has had, and just this, you know, like this real world animated character kind of movie route that a lot of the IPs are taking. Maybe they're seeing that that's working for them, and they're like, yo, let's see if we can revitalize Mario again.
I think that they said they had it in the works for a minute, like for a while, and now that they were finally.
I know what they said.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Like they're.
Yeah.
I guess.
Something's
they
always
also have
in the works. You know, someone's always got an idea. But was, you know, but I wonder if that marketing
pushed it even further.
No, but I'm saying, like, I wonder if, like, the, like, you know, it was always that, like, oh, let's do a Mario movie.
Okay.
And everyone's like, yeah, I guess, but don't know if it's the right time. And then the Sonic movie happens. And then they're like, all right, finally that right time to make the Mario movie.
Detective Pikachu. And then Sonic 2, the movie.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it just makes it better because they do have a Super Mario World at Universal.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's just more like of a push for like Mario in different ways than we're used to seeing Mario.
Cause
I agree. Yeah.
Cause the thing is like, we're old. Like Mario was our childhood. Like Mario isn't, you know, like I know they still make games, but
it's like for kids of today, it's different.
Yeah. Like, do they care? Yeah. Kids today care about Fortnite and shit like that. Mario's not Fortnite. You know what I mean? Probably never be in Fortnite.
No, Fortnite will be in Mario before Mario be in Fortnite.
He's too short and pudgy to be in Fortnite anyways. They'd have to like change his character model. He could never be in Florida.
I also think like the quote unquote violence of it all, they wouldn't want it.
No, they wouldn't.
You know, Nintendo.
That's why Samus isn't even in it. I know Fortnite reached out to get that Samus.
Oh yeah.
And they were like, nah, dog.
They're like, absolutely not. But yeah.
Yeah.
Excited about that.
Splatoon 3 showed us some gameplay and talked about the lore, which was cool. And wow, the shocker, the one more thing, Bayonetta 3.
She looked real good. She looked great.
You know, now that I know that that's the same studio that makes
Astral Chain.
I wonder if people who are Bayonetta fans gave that game a chance and like what the similarities between those two games are, because I think Astral Chain is one of the better games on the Switch, especially the time that had come out. I felt like it was one of the better games for sure.
And it was like a new IP too.
Yeah,
so
you know, like people always itching for that Bayonetta. I wonder if a lot of people gave that game a shot. I know it sold like really well, so I want to say yeah. I felt like it wasn't talked about a lot. So at the same time.
Yeah. I've never played Bayonetta before, like any of her games. Yeah. So unfortunately we're like not super knowledgeable on her world.
I'm looking forward to this, especially now that I know that this is the Astral Chain studio. Mm-hmm. That makes me super happy.
I'm super excited for the Bayonetta fans though, because I know how long you've been waiting for something. Next will be the Metroid fans. Hopefully you guys get your game.
Well, we're not gonna have a good direct for like 2 years. We could.
They say we gave you Metroid Dread last year.
We're not getting another direct like this until like 2023.
This is a banger.
OD.
Hefty.
I wanted to not give it a 10 out of 10, but how could I not give it a 10 out of 10? Like,
oh my God.
Gracious.
I'm still in shock.
Even if you came into this with expectations, this shit hit your expectations, unless you were expecting Mario Kart, which I could feel that you may be upset about. I still can't believe we still know new Mario Kart.
Yeah.
But to get a new Kirby,
we got N64,
Sega Genesis, Bayonetta 3.
Instead of Mario Kart, we got Chocobo GP.
Yeah, Chocobo. Yo, that was actually, now that you say that, that was a big fuck you. That was a big, yo, you thought we were going to give you Mario Kart. Enjoy this for another year.
We're never gonna get another. I feel like it's just with my opinion with Mario Kart 9, right?
Yeah, it would be the next one. Yeah, it would be 9.
Is that what could they possibly do next?
Yeah, 100%.
So like they really have to amplify. It's the same thing with Animal Crossing. From this moment on, after New Horizons has like died out, what could they do next? No. That's really the question. It's like The Sims. You know, with The Sims 4, what could they do next? They're making a Sims 5. GTA, what could they do next? You know, so it's a very,
you know,
teetery thing.
Since you say that, I think the thing that would sell people on another Mario Kart, especially if there's, you know, very minimal changes, which there very likely will be, right? Like, how much could you possibly change or add to Mario Kart at this point? And that's how I feel about Smash Ultimate, too, right? Like, eventually they're going to get to the point with that. I think it's when you release a Switch Pro and now that new Mario Kart game is the Mario Kart game that plays at 4K if they really are entertaining that, or if not at 4K, at least 1080, 60 frames, you know, smooth, you know, more polished than 8, which is, I think, even more impossible because that game looks incredible.
It looks incredible. There's no way to,
there's no way you can make that game look better. I don't know.
But I agree.
Tying how that game performs on a new console is what I think is going to sell that game. And then,
Mario Kart pushes consoles. Like, let's just be real, regardless of what it is, it pushes consoles and it's a staple for like people who aren't like competitive gamers or like really just casual gamers. It's for them so that something to play.
I don't know about that. Listen, we were at Gaming and Chill the other night, and Ellis, Pizza Zoo pulled up. Well, Karen was there from early, but Pizza Zoo pulled up, and Karen's really good at Mario Kart. You know, I've never been a victim, but I hear she's really good at Mario Kart. And Ellis was like, yo, I got $5 against anybody. I got Karen against anybody. $5 was good. And they were talking smack in like the Instagram comments with somebody. Mm-hmm. That person showed up, and I was like, "Yo, by the way, that's Mario Kart homegirl over there." He was like, "Word." Ended up having to buy some beers for Ellis. That's how that ended. That's how that ended. Karen washed me. You're just another victim, bro.
Sorry, it had to be you. Sometimes you have to pick your battles. You have to know when to step back and
I don't know what it is. But they got that game. You know what it was? And you know how like the Switch shows you how many hours people play?
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that Ellis had like almost 300 hours in that game, I was like, oh nah. There's absolutely no way I'm ever playing these folks in Mario Kart.
Right. We play too casually.
Yeah.
For that. But yeah, it was a really good direct. I had a great time.
Yeah, wow.
Watching this. I think my most anticipated game out of all of this really is the new Kirby game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's your most anticipated? That's cool.
Yeah, I really like Kirby. I've played a bunch of his games, or like the Kirby games in the past. Mm-hmm. The more recent ones, because I feel like the story just wasn't there, like it wasn't worth it to me. But I'm really excited for this one because it really does feel like an open world Kirby game, and it feels like what Odyssey was when Odyssey came out.
Okay. Sorry. I was looking at something.
No, you're fine.
But yo, God, there's no segue out of this. I'm still like ridiculously flustered by this, but awesome direct. Yeah, you're right. Awesome direct. Can't wait for more. I would say my most anticipated game is
Ocarina of Time.
I was trying not to make it the N64 shit. I was really not trying to make it the N64 shit.
It is though, because they didn't really.
Yeah, it really is, because I've been really wanting to replay Ocarina of Time, like itching. But of the new games, I would probably say it's Triangle Strategy.
Yeah.
That's probably my most anticipated. But talking about games that we already have and that we're already playing.
Yeah.
We've been playing Kena: Bridge of Spirits, that new PS PlayStation exclusive, console exclusive. It's also on PC on the Epic Store. It's a indie game. You wouldn't even think so based on how it freaking looks. Let's get this
gameplay. Get some gameplay up for you guys to see.
This game looks amazing. It's the first game made by a animation studio. That's why the game looks so good. They used to make movies and animations. They made an animation for, I think it was like a Gears of War promo or something like that. I know it was an Xbox game, and they're the ones who made the animation for that. But this is their first game. Alyssa and I have been playing it since it's dropped. Alyssa's beat the game. I'm about 2 hours in, I want to say, something like that. What do you think? What do you think about the game, Alyssa?
I love this game. I have to admit, like, I wasn't expecting to be so attached to it and attached to the characters and just like really engulfed in the story. We were talking about it off camera, but we'll talk about it here, like our pros and cons, because there's pros and cons to anything, especially like indie games. I mean, AAA games also have their issues, but I really think it is worth the $40. And I am surprised this game costs $40, simply just how it looks, even the mechanics of the game and like the when you fight and stuff, it's so much fun. This is a heavy contender for me as my game of the year currently. I was really, my most anticipated games were Resident Evil Village, this game, and Far Cry 6. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, based on, you know, the two that I've already played in full, Kena is at the top. It's just my number one. And I say it's a 10 out of 10. And this is coming after me playing Deathloop as well, for those who didn't know. And Deathloop, I also gave a 10 out of 10 because like that game is also really good. But I say if you get your hands on this, please do. If you have a PlayStation 4 or 5, please get it. If you have a PlayStation 5, play it. It's so beautiful. It's beautiful. And if you have a PC, of course, go whatever makes you feel comfy. 100%. But this game, ugh. I still think about it. Like, I still need to finish completing it, but I did beat it today. So, yeah, amazing.
You can do that master's run, right?
I'm trying to platinum. My first real platinuming of a game.
And, I mean, just just a reference back to our homie Todd.
Yes.
How was his performance? Because I haven't even gotten to, really, flesh out his character. I just got, maybe like a cutscene or two, that had him talking. He's doing great there, but I know I don't want to get into the game, but when you really find his spirit, I wonder what that's like. And talk about that.
So too. I'm not a crier naturally. I'm not someone who cries, but I have to say his performance, it brought me to tears. I was actually sitting here and it's like watching a Disney movie. Mm-hmm. And you just sit there and you're really attached to these characters for no reason at all. But he did such a great job. Honestly, I can see where when he was telling us it was really emotional and it was probably the hardest role he's ever had to play.
Yeah.
I can see that. You can hear it in his voice.
He tied it to his own personal experience he was telling us. Yeah.
Yeah. So he did a really phenomenal job. I think everyone did.
Yeah.
The cast of people that they casted, the different types of people you meet, mm-hmm. The different stories with love. It's not just about Taro's experience with his siblings. It's they have same sex, relationships in it as well. And just overall, it's just beautiful. And I think everyone should go play this game. I'm tired of
hyping it up. I've thoroughly enjoyed the 2 hours I've played. I know you say the game is actually kind of easy. I actually think the game is pretty challenging.
It might be challenging. I've
been doing
some
fights. There was this one chest that you could mm-hmm. start and you're on a timer to defeat the monsters around the chest to unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I must have done that chest 10 times. I kid you not, Alyssa. I just could not.
They're hard.
It was good. Die. And it's partly her fighting mechanics. Not that they're bad. But she does mm-hmm. have slow movements or they take mm-hmm. a little time.
With the staff.
So you got to time them properly and stuff. But no, the game is amazing. I think you we were talking about this earlier. You can tell that it is an indie game.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily look at this game and think that everything about it should be of AAA quality because the game looks AAA. But there are some things that you could tell the game is an indie game in that I didn't even know this game had a parry because it doesn't really have a good tutorial system where each time mm-hmm. you get to a certain point, there are some things that the basic stuff, but there are, mm-hmm. I think, more intricate pieces of the battle system and just finding things out like parrying that aren't just presented to you. And I think that those are just, displays that this is a game made by a studio. This studio's first time making a game. That's very clear.
Right, agreed.
But I still think they did a phenomenal job. I think without those things, what I hope comes from this is, I don't know if we get a Kena 2, a mm-hmm. sequel that I haven't beat the game, so I haven't seen that or whatever. But whether this game gets a sequel, when Ember Labs gets their next shot at a game. And especially having a support behind PlayStation, if you know, they decide to do it exclusive again or whatever.
Or even Epic.
Yeah, or even Epic. Yeah, Epic. Hopefully they get people behind them that do fill in those gaps. All right, because I know some people were saying that it feels like a PS2 game. And I could see that for sure.
Mechanics-wise,
it's definitely a PS2 game. And again, that's why I feel an indie studio just went to something that really worked and refined mechanics that have been around for a while and work and people are familiar with and stuff. Because I imagine most of their budget went into this fucking design of this game. This game looks phenomenal.
Yeah, I think, and I even want to say what you said too, because you were saying, it's just we're getting distracted by it almost, mm-hmm. which is the truth, because it looks phenomenal, but again, it's important for us to even express the cons of this game or just things that we want to note for mm-hmm. them so that they're aware that we can hey, this is what we should work on next.
Yeah.
I also think I want to mention Beats. I think the story beats are really good and like how they progress the story. I just think in the beginning, it's missing its mark. Yeah. It's like they kind of just throw you into it without much explanation. And I even was texting you. I was like, yeah, I'm already fighting like a boss. Like, I don't understand what's going on, type of thing.
When I got to that part and I assumed you were talking about that, I was like, oh, this is a little weird. Okay.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, they're trying to teach you things along the way. But I think there's just certain beats that are missing in the story that makes stories flow better.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be annoying because I'm on a next-gen console. But the seamless transition from cutscene into gameplay is really important to PS5 players. I get it. This game's on PS4. But for, I'll say PC players and next-gen players, it's important how seamless that is. It's very clear when it goes from cutscene into gameplay, and it also just, it feels really weird that it goes into like a widescreen for cutscenes and not just like the full screen. Outside of like those things and like, you know, the fact that it's, she's not as flowy as she should be, I think it's just, you know, they're a smaller company at the end of the day, but they did a really good job.
I think that widescreen thing is them definitely sticking to like their
film, like whatever they did for
to like their roots of animation and stuff, like, you know, that's how movies are. So I can see how that's the thing there. But yeah, this is a great game. I think this sets the standard for what a $40 game could be, can be, because wow,
right,
this is nuts. This
is for game. Sure. And for indie game players, I put it up there with your Hollow Knights, your Celeste. What was the other one that we mentioned?
Hades.
Hades. Yeah, we'll put it up there with Hades, which is like phenomenal.
This is another phenomenal game. Yep. Setting standards for what these games can be.
Yeah, and I just think that Kena maybe falls underneath these games only because, like, the things that we're saying, it's clear that it's their first game, and there's just certain things that are missing. Outside of that, perfect.
And also, not to say that indie games can't not be this either. Like, they can't be smaller scale or anything like that either. Because there are also some great games that aren't Celeste and Hades. Because though those are indies, they're like on the upper echelon of indies.
But
these games are showing us what the upper echelon of indie can look like. And indie games aren't trash. Indie games are not trash, that's for sure. And, and we're seeing that more and more every year. And that's cool. I think that's awesome.
Shout out to Ember Lab. Yeah. Shout out to Todd and the whole crew that worked on this game. It was a great experience. And
if you want to hear that episode of the Save Points, episode 39, it's available on podcast services wherever you get them. You know what I mean?
Everywhere.
It's a really good interview. Just letting you know.
Everywhere. So I guess we'll jump into the next topic. And I feel like, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of tired of talking about Fortnite.
They're doing things. Just things are happening, you know? Big things.
Fortnite. is they got some more collaborations happening, and there's more news to the Apple and Fortnite or Epic arc. It's like Aizen, you know. I don't know who's Aizen in this, but they're definitely winning. So Fortnite has a collaboration with Balenciaga, and if you don't know what Balenciaga is, it is a very high-end designer brand. And they have come together, joined forces, if you will, to give us a collection of clothing in real life and also in the game. I'm not really sure how you get the clothing in the game, but I'm pretty sure it will be cheaper than you going out and buying the physical clothing yourself.
Hoodie's $450. All it says is Fortnite Balenciaga. Must be nice.
I don't think it's worth it. No offense.
And that's coming from the drip god, by the way. You know what I mean? So...
If you don't have the $150 for a hoodie, you can go and get the drip in game. And in other news, I feel like, which is a bigger news, I think there were some questions from fans of Fortnite and whether or not they'll be able to get the game again on mobile via the Apple Store. And we just want to say, unfortunately, the answer is no. It probably won't even be considered for until like 5 years from now, at least 5 years.
Up to five years.
So, Mondo, what do you think about this whole thing with Apple?
Yo, I wrote it in that tweet Apple's being Petty Pablo. Let me tell you about it. You read Petey Pablo? It's yeah.
That's, I did.
It's a joke on Petey Pablo. Petey Pablo.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand that Apple is totally within their legal right to appeal this, and in during their appeal, they're allowed to keep Epic's apps off the App Store.
Right.
And apparently, this appeal process can take up to 5 years. That's nuts. That is absolutely crazy. Yikes. Big yikes. I don't even know. I don't even know what to think about it. It's kind of crazy. Fortnite's not going to be on mobile for the foreseeable future, it looked like. Tim Sweeney came onto the timeline to cry again. Nobody give a fuck about you crying, bro. Fuck out of here.
Y'all make enough money.
Yeah,
you're not
some peasant in all of this, son. Like, get out of here, right, bro. This is not David and Goliath. This is Goliath and Goliath. And I don't care about either of y'all. Y'all just feuding. Feel bad for the kids that used to primarily play Fortnite on the cell phone, because I know that was a large amount of people. I hope that they got Xboxes or PlayStations or Switches to play it on.
Or a PC. Computer. Whatever.
I don't know. What about you? I mean,
I feel the same. Yeah, it's crazy, but I also feel as if that, you know, there's other avenues that you can play Fortnite if you're playing Fortnite. Mm-hmm. So I just think it sucks for those who are very heavily on mobile and really enjoyed it. But I say get yourself a Switch.
Yeah, 100%. Get yourself a Switch.
Because I would say get yourself a PlayStation, but I don't want to be rude.
Can't get one of those.
Or an Xbox.
No. I mean, that N64 coming? You think you're going to be able to find a Switch?
Get yourself a Switch.
Yeah, you might not be able to find a Switch soon either.
While supplies last,
yeah.
Get yourself to use Android. That works as well if you want to play mobile.
Yeah. Is that in on the Apple Epic?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was just, you know, Fortnite.
We're just ants watching giants battle.
Literally.
Whatever. But... this next topic, I was thinking, I think we should just hold it off until like it's over.
All right, cool. Let's do it. Let's just hold it off.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
we'll just hold it off.
We're gonna skip over. I literally put, can we talk about what if? We're gonna skip over it, and we're just gonna run into. I mean, it was pretty hefty today, anyways, with Nintendo, and that was really the main focus. Wow. So we're just gonna run into some hot takes of the week. These games are releasing this week: Kena: Bridge of Spirits on PC, PS4, and PS5. Sheltered 2 on PC. Collections of Saga: Final Fantasy Legends on mobile. Teacup: PS4, PC, Xbox One X, and the Switch. Diablo 2 Resurrected: PC, PS4, PS5, Switch, and the Xbox.
Yes, let's get that Diablo 2 bag. Hype for that.
Lost Judgment, which is a banger. PS4, PS5, Xbox Series S, X, and One. Ember, PS4, PC, Stadia, and Xbox One. Port Royale 4 is on PS5 and Xbox. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot is going to be on the Switch, I think, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Death Stranding Director's Cut comes out tomorrow on the PS5. And Sable comes out on PC, Mac, Xbox Series S, X, and One. So those are the games that are releasing this week. If you're getting any of them, I hope you enjoy them all. Last week we missed this one. Dying Light 2 has officially been delayed to February 4th, 2022. The team basically sent out a tweet letting us know that the game will no longer be, I think it was coming out either November or October. Personally, I feel as if this is a good thing because I do, or December, I think it'll be overshadowed by so many games coming out these next 3 months, especially. It would be competing with Back 4 Blood, which is like a Left 4 Dead type of game.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I think that, I don't know. If they need to delay it. It is what it is. But I do think, considering what you said, it is a smart move to get away from what is probably going to be the premier zombie game.
Of
For a little bit. That's a, what's the term for it? Oh my god. Whatever. Words slipped my mind. It's a dub. There's a phrase I'm trying to get out of my head, but
Yeah.
Oh, a cult classic. That's what.
Yes. Yes. That's agreed. A cult
classic.
It's really like, hard to like.
And it's like the like video game cult classic. Like they, there's like mm-hmm. it's almost like everybody knows about Left 4 Dead. Like mm-hmm. you either played it and loved it, or you definitely heard about it and you know it's a good game. You just didn't get around to playing it or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Back also, to- I'm not really surprised because Dying Light 2 has been pushed back so many times.
Yeah, so many times. Yeah. So. Also, Back 4 Blood being crossplay is going to be huge. I think that's going to get a lot of yeah. people, like a lot of those people that didn't play Left 4 Dead for whatever reason, they're going to see all their friends playing Back 4 Blood.
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass.
Day one on Game Pass.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. Yeah.
For all of my Drip friends and Yu-Gi-Oh! Stans, Hypeland is having their Yu-Gi-Oh! Collection available on October 18th. I know this sounds a little bit early, but they just released the news. They're having two pop-ups, one in Los Angeles, which will be on the 16th and the 17th of October, and then one in New York City, the weekend of Comic-Con on the 9th and the 10th. So if you are in the area, you guys should go check it out. Jordan Bentley, I believe, is the creator of Hypeland. He is a Black man, and it's a Black-owned business, so we should always show our support. And I'm pretty sure a lot of y'all love Yu-Gi-Oh!, so go do that. It's going to be one of many releasing in October. So I say check it out. And I didn't add this.
Are you going to go to the pop-up?
I might. I know I'm going to go to the LA one because my dad watches him on some show on HBO Max. And I was like, he usually shows up. So if you like want to go meet him, we can go. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm thinking about going to the New York one. In other anime news, Tokyo Revengers has ended and My Hero Academia season 5 ends this weekend. So enjoy it while it lasts, but you get the movie next month. There's been a restock specifically today of PS5s, Xbox Series S's and X's. I think everyone's getting it, right? Best Buy, Target, yada yada.
Yeah. It seems like a big one's coming. That's good. Everybody yeah. get that wave in before the holidays, before mm-hmm. all these games are coming out and stuff.
It'll be a dry spell for a while, so.
You getting an Xbox?
Not yet. I'm waiting for Redfall. That's really the game that I'm like, I'm gonna wait for it.
So many good games. Psychonauts.
I know. I know. Shang-Chi. Back for Blood.
You get one in the next few weeks. I mean, you don't even gotta... The way you think about it, technically the Xbox
sold out.
Technically the Xbox would be $60 cheaper if you really think about it, right? Because you would have spent the money anyways.
Right.
Wow, just put it out there. Just put it out there.
No, you're not wrong. You know, I would have honestly, if Far Cry 6 was day one on Game Pass, I would have been got it.
Yeah.
Because it'd be double whammy.
That'd be 120. Yeah, that'd be a double whammy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Shang-Chi will be available to stream on Disney Plus November 12th, amongst a lot of different things. Disney Plus Day is coming, I think, November 12th. I think that's when it started. So Shang-Chi will be available then. And any Star Wars fans out there, Star Wars Visions, the new anime, has started this week on Disney Plus.
Nice.
And that is our hot take.
Yeah, I heard that was good. They had like the first three episodes really? Up or something like that. Yeah.
Harry cool.
Actually really good. Go watch that.
Yeah, I'm not a Star Wars fan, unfortunately.
No, unfortunately, you're a fan of what you're a fan of. You don't got to be a fan of Star Wars. They got enough fans, like, you know?
That's true. That's
they got
true.
Enough fans.
Disney has my money in other ways. They don't need more.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts. Got you.
And just them being Disney. Unfriend Drippy. I don't dislike Star Wars. I just don't like Star Wars. It's not appealing. Ever since they killed Natalie Portman, as when I was a kid, I just disassociated.
No. Damn, you must have been tight.
Yeah, I was crying. I was like, wow.
That it did homegirl like that?
You Jar Jar Drip now. Not Jar Jar. Please.
That's disrespectful, actually.
That is disrespectful. I know who Jar Jar is.
Yeah. Any last thoughts before we...
I want to give a birthday shout out to my friend CJ. Their birthday is this weekend.
Oh, nice. So, awesome.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, CJ. Hope you have a good weekend. So, yeah. And happy birthday again to Eric and Mabel.
And Mabel.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that their birthdays were right next to each other. That's really cool.
Me either. They're such good but friends. They're like besties.
Yeah, they're like besties. Yeah. Yeah, so I thought that was really cool. That was interesting. Yeah, I
Who's
don't know.
Q?
I don't have no. Oh, Q. Yo, Q. Yo, that's right.
Yo,
yo,
happy
the
birthday.
homie. The homie Q. His birthday today. That's a DJ friend of ours. He's a homie. He's cool. Came and killed it for one of our online events and played like a smash. Like he created a fucking layout of the Pokemon Stadium Smash level, and like he was on the big screen in the back DJing.
Wow.
Fire. And the set was like fire. Like, so I mean,
wow.
But yeah, so shout out to him. His birthday's today too.
If you're in the LA area at all, there is a museum. The Academy is putting up an exhibit for Pixar films, some other films, and Ghibli movies. So if you're in the area, I think it starts September 30th. Mm-hmm. Try to cop a ticket. Go see it.
Cop it.
Yeah, that's about
cop it. Oh, my goodness. That's what's up. It was supposed to rain tomorrow.
No rain.
And I guess the rain was only until 9 a.m. It's sunny all day tomorrow. And I was supposed to go see the homie Danny tomorrow. I can see Danny and Rihanna. They just got engaged. I'm so excited. Just want to see them and hug them. That's it. Ooh. You all right?
Wow. No, yeah, I just got like a tweet from someone. I was like, what are they trying to show me? Yes, congrats.
Yeah. Congrats to Danny and Rihanna on their engagement. Mm-hmm. Close things out. Shout out to them. But yeah, that is episode 42. Can't believe it. 42. You heard that right. Close. Of the Safe Point. Episode 50 coming. All right. But that's episode 42 of the Safe Point. Armando, a.k.a. Chocolate the Mangu. That's Alyssa. Rosa, you already know. Mm-hmm. And shit, man. Thanks for listening. If you're listening live, appreciate y'all. If you're listening on podcast service, appreciate you too. Leave a review, leave a 5-star, leave a thumbs up, whatever the heck it is on your platform service. Let us know what we could do better or what you might want to see that we don't do. And yeah, have a great day, afternoon, evening, weekend, weekday. And on that note, deuces.
I won.
God, I can't stand you. Bye. Later, everybody.